Hi, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Cliff Sarin, and my guest today is Prashanth Chandrasekhar, the CEO of Stack Overflow. Prashanth, thank you very much for joining me today. Yes, I do have an obvious question about AI, and it's we hear a lot about copilots. I mean, is it overhyped? Are they any good? And what should they be used for? And what shouldn't they be used for?
Cliff, thanks again for having me on. Real pleasure to be on and to share with your audience some of our learnings. And it's just an absolutely fascinating time to be in technology and in AI. So co-pilots more generally, or AI assistants or agents, generally speaking, absolutely groundbreaking in many ways, you know, because anybody that's spent time writing code, as you know, folks like I have in the past, and you know, I picked it up over the past year primarily because it sort of has rekindled kind of like this interest based on, you know, especially you know, it gives you sort of access irrespective of your skill set, and I haven't coded in a long time, so I was able to pick it back up primarily because it's so the barrier to entry is so low, and you're able to now almost like relearn this way of writing software, which is, you know, very different, I think, from where we were, you know, even 5 years ago in many ways. So I think the level of abstraction continues to obviously go up, and, you know, copilots, AI assistants, AI agents, obviously very different things, agents being the most obviously ambitious and advanced version of that concept. But I think the notion of how you actually effectively manipulate these automations to effectively go and perform very important tasks that are linked and logical and thought through while giving them access to the right context, I think is a very, very powerful, you know, powerful mechanism, especially for companies of all sizes. I mean, it really unlocks, I think, new ways of getting people to contribute in the company. Of course, coding is the most you know, prolific use case at the moment, but it's going to very, very quickly, I think, diffuse into other parts of the, you know, functional parts of the organization. So no, definitely not hype from my standpoint. I think it's here to stay. It's a tectonic shift in how people should think about digital workers. And we're very pleased to be part of that at Stack and providing the context and knowledge layer inside enterprises, which I'm sure we'll talk about, to make all this work, you know, in a practical sense inside enterprises.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned one phrase, and it just struck with me. You mentioned automation about a minute or two ago in while you were answering the question. And I remember a few years ago when people were talking about robotic process automation. You remember that, don't you? Robotic process automation. Now, there's a thing that, you know, perhaps organizations didn't fully complete their robotic process automation. And I know that's a fact. You know, and yet the industry has moved on. It seems to have moved on to this. You know, first it was intelligent robotic process automation. I think that was one of the things that came out. And now, well, forget all about that. You know, It's now a sort of agentic AI, and people haven't got around getting the basics right. And I think there's this issue with, and I know we're going to talk about this anyway, but legacy. But part of that legacy is just the industry is moving so fast, and people are just catching up constantly with something that they haven't completed yet. You know, as a project, if you were doing RPA and it was working for one project, You did all the low-hanging fruit, and then you start doing the more complicated stuff. But by then, the industry has moved on.
Indeed. Welcome to technology, Cliff. That's that's how it works. You know, I think RPA, obviously, we've got some great companies in the past, obviously, that pioneered that space, like the UiPaths of the world. And I think they, you know, it's a building block in terms of people's ability to unlock what is ultimately the goal. You know, if you work backwards, I'm a big Star Trek fan. So, you know, if you work backwards from the ideal, you know, there are many steps and sort of, you know, real progressions to be able to get there. And obviously with the advent of transformer technology, and now with, of course, GPUs being absolutely amazing in terms of their rate of innovation, I think it just unlocks all this ability, especially with all the data now available very universally, to enable not just automation, but I think the purists would talk about the difference between automation and, you know, of course, workflows inside enterprises. And how do you really think and how do you reason to connect the dots to be able to produce something that's an outcome that's very useful in the end? So I think this is obviously a huge step change, improvement relative to the prior, let's say, version of quote unquote automation. So non-comparable in many ways, but very much as you pointed out, it's a step in the ultimate direction of where this is all headed, which is sort of ubiquitous intelligence for most people.
I mean, there is a learning curve. I've been writing about this stuff for so long. You know, I remember and this is like halfway through my career, we were talking about enterprise service bus and service-oriented architecture. I mean, you know about this stuff. And these things still exist. You know, it's going back to legacy. This stuff still exists in organizations. It doesn't disappear because the industry has moved on. This stuff is functional, it's foundational. Everything is built on top of it. Now, you have your developer skills. People get to understand certain ways of doing things. Now, AI is a very different way of thinking about enterprise software. It's not about the if-then-else kind of logic. You know, it's not binary logic anymore. And I wonder whether there is a risk that developers will not really follow it. If you've been trained in a traditional way of programming, whatever high-level programming language you've learned, and you've learned several, you know, they're very logical. And I know there are some languages that are not, but what we see today is a very different way of, for want of a better phrase, programming, you know, and I think it's going to be very hard for people who have grown up programming for many years to appreciate how different this way of thinking about software development is going to be.
Yes, I mean, 100% right. You mentioned several important things there. One is around kind of the change curve and how long it takes for people to sort of adopt new things. So you're right, you know, we've been through many, many phases. Let's just take the last one, which is the whole on-prem to cloud phase. You know, I think most companies, you know, are somewhere in between, you know, and then you could argue when people are going back to on-prem because of the need these days for AI to sort of keep your data private and all that. So there may be kind of a resurgence of that topic, ironically. And, you know, technology comes in waves, there are cycles. I was part of that last cloud wave in my former company. And spent a lot of time helping enterprises move to the cloud on the top, you know, hyperscalers in the world. These are long adoption cycles. You know, enterprises are somewhat glacial in many ways, and so they have to deal with the historical aspects of, you know, what they've implemented. And, you know, we have companies obviously running on mainframes still, right? IBM has a business focus on that, as we all know. So it does take a long time. But I think this time, at the risk of sounding a little bit using an overused phrase, it is different. Because I think that AI, I think fundamentally sort of changes the way in which you think about the production of your organization, whether that's the number of people, what you're able to accomplish. I think roles completely change the expectations. So it's more fundamental than, let's say, a platform shift, in my opinion. I think it's definitely a platform shift, but it's a lot more than just that. You know, I think it's more, it's kind of a fundamental energy that has been infused. It's a complete sea shift change. You can compare that to the automobile relative to the horse carriage. You can compare that to electricity. You know, those are not technology adoption cycles. You know, they are, of course, but they are much more than that. They're profound changes. And so I think in the context of that, AI, I think, does unlock a tremendous amount of new possibilities inside companies. I think jobs will absolutely change in the context. If you just look at the product designer, the product manager, and the engineer, and Marc Andreessen talks about this as this little bit of standoff between, you know, these three roles, because ultimately, like, who's going to take the baton and say, look, I'm actually going to go and talk to the user, prototype it, maybe even code it now with, you know, tools that are, you know, lowering the barrier entry to write code. So there is that means that those jobs will change. You know, what is the role of a designer, a product manager, or an engineer? I think that will change. So that is similar, I think, to former cycles, but I suspect it'll go faster in this case relative to prior cycles, only because of like the diffusion of the technology. Even though, it's, by the way, the adoption rate is still pretty low, right? If you look at the world's population, I think we're talking less than 20% of the world's population is using AI today. So there's a really, really lot. We're still very early in the adoption cycle. There's so much more to go. Obviously, every company is buying AI tools to try out and experiment. I think there's a big gap between experimentation and production level environments. But so that'll all happen, you know, in this classic change curve. But it feels more accelerated this time around, only because it's just ubiquitous and it's inexpensive. It's going to be more and more inexpensive for people to try it.
I just want to go back on one point. We were talking about, sort of applications, enterprise applications. And I'm old enough to remember when Excel, when they introduced, this is Microsoft, introduced macros in Excel. And that fundamentally changed what a spreadsheet could do. It became this programming environment and people probably misused it a lot and created enterprise applications built on Excel spreadsheets because of the power of the Excel macros. And I wonder if there's an analogy with what is happening with AI in the enterprise space.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting analogy. I haven't thought about that in a very long time. But I would say maybe I will say the agentic revolution today, where people are initiating or initializing these agents, AI agents, to operate on behalf of them to perform various tasks, as you've seen now with even things like OpenClaw and a few other developments in the past few weeks. It's quite profound to be able to say these agents will go perform actions on your behalf in various capacities, whether that's to go write code, you have multiple agents going, doing multiple things. You obviously have non-technical, pseudo-technical use cases like research agents. But if you even just think about coding, which is where we obviously at Stack Overflow focus a lot on with our enterprises, what we notice is that the idea of having these digital workers or agents to go and autonomously go and perform to achieve the outcome, irrespective of how they do it, I think is somewhat secondary. You know, they may produce inelegant code, they may produce, things that are not exactly, perfect to a, let's say, an expert developer, but it gets the job done, let's say, at a fraction of the time.
Well, Prashant, thank you ever so much for taking part in the podcast today. You can find the full article on www.computerweekly.com.